London and China agreed that Hong Kong would go on under Chinese rule under a structure called One Country, Two Systems. Communist rule in the mainland and Hong Kong's capitalist system and semi-democratic government in Hong Kong. There was the promise that Hong Kong could have universal suffrage before the year 2047. But until now, less than half of the local parliament, the LegCo, is directly elected and the chief executive is elected by a body of which the members are approved by Beijing. Claudia Mo is a directly elected member of LegCo and she's not happy.
This one country, two system promise has proven a sham, a fraud. We've been let down in Hong Kong. They are taking away our autonomy and they are trying to suppress our diversity.
So why is Claudia disappointed? While China kept on postponing the date for directly electing the chief executive, it also interfered directly in a case where two lawmakers critical of China were stripped from their positions. Philip Dykes was involved in the drafting of legal documents for the British side before 1997. He says things looked rosier back then.
I did not anticipate that 20 years after the handover, the heavy-handed influence of Beijing central authorities would be so present. You can say in the past 3 or 4 years there's been more and more evidence of Beijing intervening in Hong Kong affairs, which apart from defense issues and foreign affairs issues, Hong Kong is meant to manage things on its own, but people resent that interference very much.
Stepping back, Hong Kong is just a piece of a larger puzzle, the larger picture being Beijing's ambition to completely reunify the country as it was before. In fact, this whole one country, two systems idea was also designed to lure Taiwan, which now operates as an independent entity, back into the embrace of the mainland. Michael Dillon, the biographer of Deng Xiaoping, who was China's architect of the open door and reform policy, says that Deng himself was the mastermind behind the one country, two systems structure, which he used to negotiate the handover with the then British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in 1984.
When the Communist Party took control of China in 1949, it didn't have Taiwan. Hong Kong was still a British colony. Macau was still a Portuguese colony. And what the Communist Party was doing was continuing the policies of the previous nationalist government to unify all of the parts of the old Chinese empire. So bringing back Hong Kong under Chinese rule was an important part of this.
Now, there have been a lot of protests over the last couple of years against Beijing's growing influence in Hong Kong. There was the Umbrella Movement, and there are even protesters that want independence for Hong Kong. How does that fit into the idea of Hong Kong being a showcase to get Taiwan to agree to reunify as well? Well, it doesn't. Moreover, demonstrations for Hong Kong's independence could be used by Beijing as an excuse for even more interference, says Claudia Mo, the lawmaker.
Most people in Hong Kong know that Hong Kong independence is just an empty issue. Because how are you going to go about it? Do crowdfunding to buy weapons to go up to the hills and start guerrilla warfare or what? It's just so unrealistic. We haven't even got water of our own. But China is still very happy to exaggerate this issue. Any gesture that's pro-democracy, they would say, oh, this is pro-independence. Beijing could charge us with crimes of sedition, subversion, what have you.
Mo says she's afraid that Carrie Lam, the new chief executive, who was handpicked by Beijing and who will be inaugurated the 1st of July, may introduce anti-sedition laws as a result of this. But we have to wait and see if she really wants to dance according to China's tune or if she wants to try and keep them at a certain distance, because if one person can do that, it's a chief executive.